It's one of the verses that came up when I was preparing the message, and it's been a while since I talked on this one, but it was another reminder. This morning I'm going to be talking about the blessing you have to co-create your future with God, Psalm 116. And this particular verse, I'm going to talk a little bit about all the blessings that God's given to us, what you're entitled to live in. But this verse here, verse 12, says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits?" What shall I render? What shall I give? How do I give thanks? What do I do? How do I give to him for all of his benefits? In other words, he's blessed me abundantly. What do I give back? Do you know what David's answer is? I'll take some more. Verse 13, "I take of the cup of salvation and declare the name of the Lord." What is the cup of salvation? Everything that Jesus purchased on the cross, right? Everything we celebrate when we take the communion. Divine health, provision, life, life and life abundantly. Every good thing he's given to you, that's what you take. So it says that's how you repay him, by taking more. David got a vision of God's heart. It's a bit like a parent, you know. If you've got something for your children, you want them to have it. When they take it, they take it. It gives you pleasure. When they use it, So he wants you to take it. He doesn't want you sick, broken, busted, and disgusted. He doesn't want you struggling and hurting and going through trials and difficulties. He wants you living in the abundance of his provision, his anointing. Doesn't mean the enemy's not going to try and get to you, but you have the privilege of dispatching the enemy. Have a little look at that in the scriptures today. But here it says, "I take of the cup of salvation." And that's take of the cup of Yeshua in the Hebrew. Take of the cup of Jesus. Who he is, what he's done, his completed work, I will take of that. And declare the name of the Lord. What does that mean? It means taking the cup of salvation. Part of that is declaring what it is you have received. It's already been given. It's all supplied. But you take and you declare. I will call, is what the King James says, upon the name of the Lord. That means to declare, speak out, say what his name is. Healing in every area. Wholeness in every area. Provision in every area. Blessing in every area. Thank you, Father. And that gets your daddy thrilled. It's one of the privileges we have of giving him joy by taking his provision. Isn't that great? Thank you, Jesus. So we take. Thanks, Patrick. You can give out the communion. We take of his provision. We take of his supply. We receive what he has given to us. It's not some ritual we do. This is life. Jesus said, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, do it in remembrance of me. In other words, knowing what it is I have done, knowing that I have purchased your soteria, your divine welfare, your wholeness, your protection, your provision. That's why you read through the scripture, it says, every need is met, every want is satisfied, every desire is fulfilled. Right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want nothing. I lack nothing. It's all supplied, right? It's already been given. It's just our recognition mentally, is it really that case? Can God be that good? Yep, he's even better. Thank you, Jesus, for what he's done. Let's stand and partake together. Father, we thank you for what a good God you are, that you delight in satisfying every want, fulfilling every desire, meeting every need. And we render back to you, we give back to you, glory and praise by taking what you have supplied. Even as David said, we receive, Father, as we partake of your body, Jesus, we receive the wholeness that you purchased on the cross, your protection, provision, blessing, and every good thing that you have, we receive into our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the blood. Oh, the blood that cleansed, destroyed, and removed sin, paid the price, made us righteous. Restored us to your presence, and we thank you for it. And so we receive, giving praise and thanks to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, mighty God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. You are blessed to be a blessing. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right, this morning I want to talk a little bit about your awesome future. Last week we mentioned that. Living in peace, could have called it your amazing future. This morning I want to go into a little bit more detail about that and what God has for you, which is beyond what you can comprehend at present with this natural mind, okay? However, he is revealing it to us by his Spirit. That's what he says in Corinthians. Eye hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard what God has planned for you, but he does reveal it by his Spirit. As we spend time with him, talking to him, listening to what he has, he reveals to us what he wants. But starting on that verse, John 10:10, is the scripture that says, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. That pretty much sums up this natural world. Anything bad, you know where it came from. The thief, the enemy, that's what he wants to do, kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus came to give you life and life abundantly. Now, when bad things happen to good people, that's the thief has come in to steal, kill, and destroy. The good news is, God said, I will weave that for your benefit. Even if he happens to get in and do something bad, I will weave that. I will teach you. I will fix it for you. You will learn what it is to walk with me. But God's ultimate is that you walk free from that. Why? Galatians 3:13, you've been delivered from the curse of the law. In other words, from the curse of sin and sickness, disease, everything else, anything of the curse, you've been delivered from already. It's not God's plan for you to have that, to live in that, for it to occur. He wants you to enjoy life. Well, where do you get that from? Well, I'm glad you asked. Psalm 91, verse 16, what does that say? With long life will I satisfy you. If you're sick and broken and hurting and struggling and all sorts of problems with family and everything else, that doesn't sound like enjoying life to me, or being satisfied. But he says, he will satisfy you and show you what? His salvation, which is the word Yeshua in the Hebrew. Okay, soteria in the Greek. Yeshua, he will show you Jesus. I'm about to finish the message right there. Okay, he'll show you Jesus. What about Jesus? Everything Jesus has done, who he is, what he's done for you, his supply, his provision, his deliverance, his wholeness, his welfare. That's what the word salvation means, divine welfare. And that is in Jesus. It's already supplied. If you're waiting to be saved or trying to be saved, you've missed the boat. Okay? Change the way you think to realize it's already done. You just have to receive it and enjoy it. And then Jeremiah 29:11 is another scripture we've talked about recently. It's the one that says, the Lord says, I know the thoughts and the plans I have for you, right? Thoughts for good and not for evil. So God has nothing in him that wants you living in evil. James says that. Don't say that when you're tempted, don't say you're tempted of God, for God cannot tempt any man. He doesn't have anything evil in him to do that. Okay? His whole plan is for your blessing, is for your good. Now, one of the interesting things that I've learned over the years is, why has God put us here on the earth? What is your purpose for being here? And really it comes down to, it's a training ground for eternity. Okay? That's why we're here in this natural world, a training ground for eternity. The enemy is out there trying to destroy you, but you've already been given the victory. Learning how to walk in that victory, learning how to live in God's presence is part of the training ground for ruling and reigning over however many, whatever God's got for you. Isn't that the parable he said? He gave out the talents. Says, he that made five got five cities. Okay, well, maybe it's five galaxies. I don't know. But there is a future, and part of walking in this earth and living in the Lord is learning how to move into what God has planned for you for eternity. Let me put it that way, okay? So what God's purpose is in your life here is not for you to struggle and strive and try and get through and just hang in there till Jesus comes again, which is kind of what's been taught to the church. God's purpose for you living here is to learn how to operate the same way he operates, to loose, dissolve, and undo the work of the devil, and to increase the kingdom here on earth. The kingdom is increasing, and you get to be part of it if you want to. That's what we saw last week in Daniel, right? Remember where Daniel said the vision, Nebuchadnezzar's vision, Daniel interpreted it, he saw the stone cut out without hands, increased and took over the whole earth. That's the kingdom, talking about the Jesus kingdom. And then we read in Isaiah, right, the prophecy of his kingdom and peace, there shall be no end. That's the kingdom you're now part of. So that's what God's done for us, and he's got us here on this earth as a training ground, a proving ground, a way of teaching us this is how you operate as a kingdom kid. you want to put it that way, as a child of the King, as a son and a daughter of the Most High, as part of God, he is teaching us. And that's what he did with Adam in the garden. He says, come on, Adam, let's go name these animals. And the word in the Hebrew for name means to create these animals, to give them their characteristics. And so he was teaching him, this is how you create. This is how you create the future, how you make the future, how you determine the future or the circumstances you're in. This is how you do it, by speaking. You know, as reminded yesterday, Stephanie says, you know, it is true. You are living today what you've been saying for the last 10 to 20 years. Ouch! But God is the one who changes all that, okay? And it's part of life is learning to govern what we say. Now, where do you get that from? Okay, let's start doing that. Let's go. Well, before we go to Genesis 1, three things about God. And I'm saying this mainly because you are made in his image, all right? So if you're made in his image, then you operate, designed to operate the same way as he does, designed to be just like him. So three things about God. Number one, he doesn't change. Proverbs 3 verse 6, I am the Lord, I change not. Now, I suggest you continue to change until we are in the image of Jesus, okay? Until it fully manifests. Renew the way you think, okay? But the stability you have is the knowledge that God does not change. Okay, so when God says something, that's it. Okay, and that's the second one in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 12 says, I watch over my word to perform it. Okay, so what he has spoken, he oversees, he governs, he manages till it comes to pass. It will happen. And I'm saying that, I'm saying these specifically because as we get into co-creating our future, you need to understand God is watching over what he said to make it come to pass in your life, in my life, and we can either join with him and bring it to pass, or we try and do it ourselves and mess up his plan, okay? And then the third one is that we co-create with God, and that's in Colossians. When we see him as he is, it will be revealed who we are. One of those things that you understand is God has limited himself by his choice to working with us to create. All right? He works through us and with us. Why? Because he thinks that's more fun. And heaven's all about joy, right? So it's more fun. Now, if you have a child and you're teaching them to do something, sometimes it can be a challenge when they're learning, right? Teaching them to fish. Teaching them to create a table or do some woodwork, whatever it is, you're teaching them. But when the child learns and starts doing it with you, now you get the reward, right? So that's what God is after. He's after a whole family that are working with him to bring about his purposes. So what is his purpose? Well, that's where we start. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image, just like him. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Okay? You're made in his image, just like him, made to be like him. Now, we know that because of what happened through Adam rebelling, we lost that image, in inverted commas. Okay? It corrupted the image, is a better way to put it. But the good news is your image is no longer corrupted. Already quoted Galatians 3:13, we have been delivered from the curse, from the corruption, from everything that came in, because Jesus became that for us. He was made sin to deliver us from the curse. All the ordinances written against you were nailed to his cross. You have been made righteous by his blood, justified by his resurrection. That's who you now are. Okay, so you have been recreated in his image. That's what it means to be born again. You've been restored back to what you were before Adam sinned, before the curse came in. That's why you are beyond human. You're a superhuman now. Why do you think there's so many movies out about superheroes? They're just trying to reflect who you are, okay? You are a superhero. You are a superhuman above and beyond, way more than what this earth can handle. But you get to operate in this earth as a training ground for eternity. So verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over everything on it. Now, does God ever change? So what are you supposed to do? You're still supposed to rule in this earth, right? Now that you have been restored back to who you were designed to be before God created the world, now that you are in that capacity, you get to do that. Now, I went into the Hebrew, and I want to read these out to you. Genesis 1, verse 28. These are the words, the Hebrew words that are used here when God said and spoke. It was probably in Hebrew, okay, the original language. The word fruitful, which Strong's number is 6509, is the word para, para. And it's made up of three Hebrew letters, pei, resh, and hey. Okay, so this is the word fruitful. It means to grow, to bear, or to bring forth. Be fruitful. Now the pictograms of the Hebrew word, pei is the picture of the mouth, which means to speak. Resh is the picture of the head, which typically is talking to about Jesus. And hay is breath, grace. So being fruitful means to speak of Jesus' grace, of his supply, of his provision, of what he's done. Why does 1 Corinthians 11:26 say, as often as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you are declaring the benefits of his death until they manifest? That's being fruitful. Okay, so you get to be fruitful, talking about what Jesus has done, declaring it over your life, over your family's lives, speaking it out and letting the world know who our God is. The next one is multiply. It means to increase, abundance, to enlarge, to be exceeding, abundantly above all that you ask or think, exceeding, to nourish, to be plenteous. That's what the word multiply means. It's the word rabah in the Hebrew. It may be rabah, but it's something like that, rabah. And it's the letters resh, bet, and hay. Okay, resh is the head, Jesus. Bet is the family, us. Hay is grace. Okay, so to multiply is Jesus and the family ministering grace. Whew, ministering who Jesus is and what he's done. Thank you, Father. So that's to multiply. This is what he said to you, be fruitful, multiply. Let Jesus, let grace manifest in this earth. Replenish is the word morle, which is mem, lamed, aleph. Mem is the picture of water, which is talking about the Spirit of God moving. Lamed is to teach. It's the shepherd's staff, to teach or to look after or to shepherd. Okay, and lamed, that's lamed, and then aleph is the picture of the ox, which is referring to the strength, the power of God, God himself. So replenish means let the Spirit teach and instruct you how to use God's power. That's replenishing. How to hook up with God and do what he wants done, right? The next one, subdue, is the word kabash. And kabash means to tread down, to conquer, or to subjugate. How do you do that? We're talking here about the enemy, okay? What he has done, what the curse has done. Subdue, bring that under, get rid of all of the stuff that the curse brings in. Means to tame or to prevent. Sorry, subjugate. The word, the letters, kof, bet, and shin. Kof is the cupped hand of blessing. That's what it means, talking about the palm or the cupped hand. And one of the best interpretations is to tame, to bring under subjugation, to allow or to bless. Okay? Then it's bet, which is us, the family, and shin is the picture of Father God. So it's us and Father God taming, stopping what the enemy is doing. That's what it means to subdue. Okay, and then dominion is the word radar. It means to prevail, to reign, or to rule. The three letters are resh, dalet, and hay. All right, resh is the picture of the head, typically means Jesus. That's who we see as the head. He's the prime one, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, resh, Jesus. Dalet is the picture of a door, and it means the entrance or the pathway or the passageway to let go, to move through the door. And hay, again, is breath, grace. So dominion is Jesus and you making the path for grace to operate. So everything God is saying here is about us and him destroying the work of the devil and bringing to pass or expanding his kingdom here on the earth. Not just here on the earth, but for eternity throughout the heavens. when you get to create galaxies and rule over galaxies and other species and whatever God's got for us, how many cities he gives to you, based on what we do here. Okay, so with that in mind, as a background, now that we've seen this Genesis passage, let's go on and look at some of the blessings that God wants. I've already talked about some of the notes I had here. We've mentioned Galatians 3:13. Have a look at Colossians 1 verse 22. Colossians 1 verse 22. And here, what I'm picking up here is talking about the problem that came into the earth was the curse that came in because of sin. Okay? And the Bible talks about the fact that, and Jesus talked about it, that the world is under Satan's power. That's why when Jesus was tempted of Satan, took him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, this has all been given to me. Adam gave it to him. Said, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give it to you. Well, Jesus said, that ain't going to happen. I'm going to take it the way God designed for me to take it. Right? And that's why he went to the cross, to take back from Satan all of the kingdoms of the earth. Well, the kingdoms, not just the earth, but all the kingdoms throughout the universe. In what Jesus did, here it says, in the body of his flesh through death, to do what? To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. This is Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. 21 says, and you were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by the wicked works, but he has reconciled you. How did he do it? In the body of his flesh through death. He made the death for us, or he took the death for us. We've been baptized into his death and raised in his resurrection. And now that you are raised, he presents you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. You have been made righteous. You have been reunited with God the Father. There is no separation. Everything's been reconciled in Jesus. And so here, it says, you are now holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So the whole concept of trying to perform to please God, trying to do things to please God, trying to get close to God, is a lie. You are already in him. We are one. You are holy, unblameable, unreprovable. Wherever you go, he goes. The enemy runs. That whole spiritual warfare, I'm fighting the devil. Why are you fighting the devil? He's defeated. He runs whenever you show up. Don't pay him any attention. That's what he wants. He wants you to pay him attention. But just flick him off. you are a nothing. All right. Colossians 1 verse 13, a little bit up back. He hath delivered you from the power of darkness and hath translated you into the kingdom of his dear Son. A well-known scripture. And how about down to verse 27, same chapter, 1 verse 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery that God is revealing. Jesus in us, hidden before the foundation of the world, that we and he would be one, that we would operate the same way he operates, that we would live the same way he lives. And that's what leads you to 1 John 4:17, where John summarizes it, the end of that verse. As Jesus is, present tense, so are you in this world. Now you think about what Jesus is like now, since he was resurrected. John got a hold of that and said, that's how you are. Now, it mightn't look like it in the natural yet, but this is where faith comes in. Faith says, I don't look like it, but God said it. That's good enough for me. That's what I believe, right? So how do I bring that to pass? And that's where we get into the principle of dominion, one of the seven principles of the New Covenant, the principle of dominion. Okay, before we go there, I just want to do a quick recap, and then we'll look at that principle. Quick recap of some of the things that you have. 2 Peter 1:4, because of these great and precious promises, you have become a partaker of the divine nature. What are the great and precious promises? I'm just going to list a few. How about Psalm 91? You are protected from all evil. You shall not fear. Doesn't matter what happens, you are protected. Number two, you have divine welfare. No evil shall come nigh your dwelling. No plague. Divine welfare. You have angelic help. The angels will pick you up, lest you stub your toe against the stone, right? You have angelic help. You have authority over evil. He clearly says that. Okay? Number 5, you're satisfied with a long life. Already read verse 16. Number 6, you live in union with Jesus and experience what he experiences. With long life will I satisfy you and show you. And that word show in the Hebrew means to see, to get a knowledge of. Yeshua, Jesus, experience what he has made. Okay, how about Psalm 103, number 7. You've been forgiven of everything. Forgiven all your iniquities. And remember the definition of iniquity? Okay. I asked the Lord that one day. I said, what's the difference between iniquities and sins? He said, well, sin is a subset of iniquity. But the superset, the full set of iniquity, is everything you have done that hasn't been led by Holy Spirit. Anything God hasn't done, that's an iniquity. God says, your sins and your iniquities Amen. Have been eradicated. Thank you, Jesus. So as far as God's concerned, you're absolutely perfect. The only thing recorded in heaven about your life is where you've followed Holy Spirit and done what he's told you to do, and his power doing it through you. Okay? So that's the definition of iniquity. Anything that you have done that wasn't God leading you. All right, so your iniquities are forgiven. Number 8 out of Psalm 103. Healed all your diseases. Diseases of the mind, diseases of the soul, diseases of the emotions, anything at dis-ease. Not just the physical, but every area of your life. He's healed all your diseases. Already done. Number 9 of the list, Psalm 103. I put down here, always improving. Healed all your diseases. Let me look that up. Psalm 103. Satisfies your mouth. That's where the cut. Yes. No, redeemed your life from destruction. Verse 4. Redeemed your life from destruction is always improving. Otherwise, no destruction can operate. Always growing, always improving. Crowns you with loving kindness, infused with love. It's number 10. That's how you who you now are. You're a being of love, a being of light. And that's the word chesed in the Greek, which is God's covenant love. His total commitment to your welfare. It's not just, yeah, I love you, pat, pat, pat. This is, I am absorbed in you. You are full of me. I love you. You are part of me. That's chesed. I'm totally committed to your blessing and your welfare. Verse 5. Satisfies your mouth with good things. That's number 11. Good things to say, and good things to eat, and good things to whatever goes through your mouth. Satisfies your mouth with good, right? Thank you, Jesus. And your, yeah, worship comes out of your mouth. Okay? Satisfies you with good. And last one. Your youth is renewed like the eagles, full of youth and strength. These are some of the blessings you have. How about Isaiah 54? Covenant of peace shall not depart from you. Covenant of shalom, God's guarantee of divine welfare, shall not depart from you. Downside to that is if you choose, you can walk out of it, but it's not going to depart from you. It's still there. It's our choice whether we live in it or not. Covenant of my peace shall never be removed. You'll be prosperous in your you and your family. Right? In righteousness they'll be established. Far from fear. You get to condemn evil and the curse. That's verse 19. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn. So when the curse tries to operate, you get to condemn it. And you are totally righteous. Their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. How about Deuteronomy 28? Probably should have started there since that's right back at the beginning. Deuteronomy 28. What are some of the things you've been blessed with there? There's a whole list of 15 verses of it. You'll be blessed in coming in, blessed in your going out. Storehouse will be full, your barns will be full. Blessed in the crops, blessed in your field, blessed in every area of life. So I wrote down, blessed in everything. That kind of sums it up, right? And then verse 13 is one of the well-known ones. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. Ever heard anyone say, well, under the circumstances, I'm not doing too bad. What's your answer to that? Get out from under the circumstances. God has taken you out from under the circumstances. You're supposed to live above only and not beneath. Live in his goodness. Hallelujah. And then that scripture we quoted in during communion, Psalm 116, verse 12. How do I render unto the Lord for all of his goodness to me? All of these things that we've listed. How do I render unto him? I take more of it and declare what he has done. Take of the cup of his salvation and declare or call upon the name of the Lord. So how do we do that? Well, the first thing I wrote down here is number one, you have to believe. Believe, receive it by faith. That's what faith is, right? Receiving what you don't see with your natural eyes. That's why we go in our spirit and hear what the Spirit says to us, knowing you are righteous. Okay? So, what you believe is what you will say. That's why I said earlier, you're living today what you've been saying for 20 years because that's what you've believed. And part of the process we go through is we renew the way we think. God said, I will put my way of thinking in your mind. As we agree with what he says, it transforms the way we think to think like him. And that's the process of how we create our future, is by hearing from him and learning from him what he wants. Therefore, you know when something's going wrong in your physical body, you know, well, that's not God's plan. So you get to curse it. You get to loose health into your body. You get to take the communion and declare, no sickness comes nigh this dwelling. You get to bring the future, the covenant of God's promise, into the now. So that's part of how you do it, understanding the principle of dominion. And the best way to describe dominion is, and I use this as an example, most of you have heard it, the traffic officer or the policeman, right? He has dominion over the traffic, but he has two aspects to his dominion. Number one is his authority, and number two is the power that backs up his authority. When he flashes his lights, the car pulls over. Or if he stands on the side of the road and waves down the semi, why does the semi stop? Because he knows if he doesn't, he's going to get punished, right? In other words, the policeman has the authority to stop the truck, but he personally doesn't have the power. The power is provided by the state's law that says if you disobey, this is the consequence. That's exercising dominion. So in our dominion, we have the authority because we are here in this natural physical world. We have been given this flesh and blood body. That's the authority to speak into this natural world. That's why demons try to control people so that they can get the people to speak evil into the natural world. You are controlled by the Spirit of God. He wants you to say what he says, to speak life, to declare blessing, to bring wholeness. That's his purpose. Going back a little bit, when Adam fell, what happened was he was disconnected from God's power and placed under Satan's power. That's why Satan was called the prince of the power of the air. So whenever a man spoke, he wasn't connected to God to bring to pass like Adam did when he created the animals. Okay, that's why people say we live under Murphy's law, because they were connected to the power of Satan, which wants to destroy everything. Of course, the good news for you is you are no longer under Satan's power, because you have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And you've been connected back to God's power. So when you speak, now God's power can bring it to pass. That's the role of Holy Spirit, the Aleph, God himself, his power bringing it to pass. So that's why we say what God says. When you stand up there and go, ooh, I feel sick today, God's going, can't do anything with that. But when you say, thank you, Father, it's so good to be healthy and whole, he goes, now I can work with that one because that's what I said about you. So his power brings it to pass. And that's the principle of dominion that operates because you are now a new covenant being dwelling beyond this natural world. You get to bring God's power to manifest in this natural world. So how do we do that? I put down here the key to living that way is finding out what the Father's heart is. And your awesome future, I've read to you a whole bunch of stuff that you are entitled to out of the scriptures. That's what God's plan for you is. But his plan is much bigger than that. When he says divine welfare, that doesn't just apply to this natural world. It applies to all of eternity. And you are an eternal being, immortal, will live forever. Okay? Now, where we go on this natural world, God says, find out what the Father's heart for you is. Okay, each of us has a purpose, a destiny, usually different. God has a different role for all of us to play. All complementary, all working together. Living stones being built into a house, okay, a building of God. So each one has a different purpose. Now, your purpose might simply be to worship the Lord, spending time in his presence, praying, ministering, doing whatever he wants done. Find out what your purpose is. How do you do that? By asking. Duh. It's kind of simple, isn't it? He's not withholding. He's not hiding. Okay? He wants you to know. Now, when you ask, be aware that he mightn't give it all to you at once. Why? Because if he said, well, you're going to rule over 10 galaxies and you're going to manage this species of being and you're going to run this here and you're going to be in charge of this whole thing over here, you'll go, no, God, not me. How am I supposed to do that, right? So what he does is he progressively shows you revelation and gives you better insight as you walk into what he's already revealed to you. Otherwise, two things can happen. One, you can run away in fear. Number two, you can try and get ahead of him and do it yourself. Beware of both. And where does this come from? Okay, this key scripture here is Joshua 1:8. Very well-known verse. We're going to look at Joshua 1:8 and Isaiah 40. Okay, these are the two scriptures that give us God's purposes as to how we're supposed to create our future with him. He talks about co-creating. He wants to work with us. He wants us to live divinely healthy. We have to participate in it. Joshua 1 verse 8, you know this well. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now this was given, God said this to Joshua when they were going into the promised land. You have already been placed into the promised land. That's where you now live. Okay, so this particular passage is God's secret for how you get to fulfill your purpose in the kingdom of the Son, in the new role that you are as a born-again believer. And what does it say? Don't let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate therein. Okay, so I went, okay, Father, what's the hidden message here? The book of the law, all right? So I went into the Hebrew again, and this book of the law, three Hebrew words. The word zay, which is zan and hay. Okay, and zan is the harvest. Hay is grace. The harvest of grace, which is God's desire for the whole of the earth, for the whole of the cosmos. Everything to be reconciled unto him. Okay, so it's his harvest of grace. The book is the word sifra, which is samek, pei, resh, hay. Samek is to protect or to grab, to look after, to protect. Speak is the word pay, the mouth, to speak. Resh is the head, Jesus, grace. Okay. And the law is the word Torah, which is taf, resh, and hay. Taf being the cross, resh being Jesus, hay being grace. So you take those pictograms and it's talking about the harvest of God's grace, which is his divine favor, his purposes, what he wants done. The harvest of that is you protecting what you say of Jesus and the grace that has been supplied through the cross. That's what you're to meditate on day and night. And what does to meditate mean? To meditate means to spend time in his presence, listening to, finding out what his heart is. Now you do that day and night. Well, how do you meditate day and night? Meditation is an awareness. A conscious awareness of God's presence. That's how you do it day and night. You're aware that he's always with you. He's in you. He's walking with you. He's teaching you. Listening to your heart. Hearing what he's saying. Not going by our natural mind and the way we've always done things, but going by, led by the Spirit of God. Meditate day and night. The word meditate is the word hagar. It's amazing. We just saw there the three words. This book of the law is speaking, guarding and speaking about God's grace through what he did on the cross. The word meditate is the word hagar, which is three letters, hay, gamel, hay. Gamel is the picture of a camel, which means a journey or a lifestyle or a way of walking, surrounded by grace. Hay, hay, on the journey you go on. That's the picture God is giving. When you meditate in him, you are living in union with him, aware of him, living in his grace, as you walk, as you live in the passage of your life. That goes on forever. We live in his grace. That's your future. What is his grace? Everything we just read. Nothing of evil, protected, blessed, provided for, head not the tail, above only. You name it. All of that is God's plan for you. How do you get it? Believe it. When you believe it, you'll start saying it. Using the dominion, the authority that we've been given to loose, dissolve, and destroy the work of the devil. Final scripture, Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Let's go to verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. They that wait, and that word wait in the Hebrew is the word kavah. Okay, kavah. And kavah is three letters, kof, vav, and hay. Okay, kof, the meaning of kavah is to bind together, to entwine, to collect, or to expect. Okay, that's the meaning of the word kavah, is to entwine, being entwined in God, made in union with Him. The letter kaf is the picture of the sun on the horizon, which means the sun speaks. That's what it's talking about. Jesus speaking, the sun speaks. Vav is the nail, or the peg, and hay is grace. So kavar is being entwined in Jesus, saying what He says about His completed work and the grace that operates in your life, His desire for you. So how do you co-create an amazing future is by finding out what God's heart is for you, for your family, for the circumstances, for wherever you are, and saying that, expecting that, believing that, because that's what you will say. So if you believe that God has certain things for you to do, and I've been waiting and meditating on what His purpose for me is, and I have some insight, which I can't share at the moment, you have to go into the spirit realm and find out His purpose. And then you start, or you believe that, and you start declaring it. You can even write it down, document it. And that operation in the spirit realm brings it to manifestation in the natural. It's more than just seeing His divine welfare on your daily life. You go in there and you see, yes, Father, I'm supposed to be divinely healthy. No sickness comes nigh this dwelling. No, my youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are the blessings that you have. That's part of what you can claim, what you can walk into. And it will manifest in the natural as you meditate in that and you know that's His plan for you. When He starts opening up the bigger plan, what is your purpose for my eternity? What is your purpose while I'm here on the earth to fulfill what you want done, to loose, dissolve, and undo the work of the devil? Where is that supposed to go? Now when He starts giving you a concept of that and a vision for what He's got for you, then you start bringing that into the natural by agreeing with Him, declaring it, and watching how He brings it to pass, following His direction. When He says, go do this, go do that, that's what you go do. Okay, say this, say that. That's how you do it. Now it is an awesome future because His kingdom is ever increasing, right? So you get to rule and reign here on the earth and bring His kingdom into this natural world, changing the natural circumstances. I don't believe it's an accident the Lord's put us here in Waco. So I've been praying over that. Okay, Father, You've put us here in this city for what purpose? What is the bigger picture that You want done in this city? What's my part in that? Okay, those are the questions I'm asking. I hope you're doing the same. Okay, because we each have a part to play in it. And that's what He's after. And maybe your part is just to see, okay, I need to pray over the city. Maybe that's what you do. You just pray in tongues, pray over the city, pray over what God's doing here, loose, dissolve, stop the work of the devil, human trafficking, prostitution, whatever it is, crime, deal with that. Maybe it's something different that He wants you to do, whatever it is, find it out. But the big thing is wait. When I say find it out, it's not like, okay, God, you got to tell me, you got to know. It's enjoy Him. Put the question out there and let Him answer it. I've done that a number of times. I've told you about some of them. One took 35 years before He gave me the answer. So, but what is important to Him is intimacy, the communication, the time with Him, the spending time, enjoying Him, loving Him, meditating in Him day and night. And then out of that comes the vision and the manifestation and the ministry and whatever else He's got for you. But you have an awesome future, here and for eternity. God desires you to enjoy. It comes back to here. Life is supposed to be enjoyed. John 10:10. Give you life and life abundantly. If that enjoyment is just sitting at home, enjoying His presence, waiting on Him, you won't be there for long. You might find yourself traveling through the universe. You might find yourself in another city ministering, like with some of the testimonies you've heard. God can use you any way that you're open to. So don't limit Him. Expect it. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank You again for what You're doing, for your purposes being worked out. Thank you for the anointing of your grace that you are moving through us to minister life wherever we go. So, Father, I declare your blessing upon each one here today. You impart through us your power working, life and life abundantly flowing, that river of life from our innermost being that flows out to minister wherever we go. I give you thanks for it, and I declare your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.